Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Listen, this is a case right now going on in the national scene, and I don't think people are talking enough about the true genesis of where this all came about. I had somebody on social media sort of taking me to task last night and believing that in some way I was overstating the facts and saying that just because parents want to protest critical race theory doesn't mean that the Department of Justice is truly after them. They want to go after people that are trying to commit violence. Well, violence is not acceptable anyway, and violence can be enforced on issues of state and local law. It already is. There's no federal school board here. You're talking about like Loudoun County, Virginia, or Madison City schools. I mean, what the heck? So what we're talking about here, folks, in case you didn't know, is in the last, 36 hours, I believe it was, it came out that Attorney General Merrick Garland, appointed by Joe Biden, is now in charge. He's the AG for the United States. He has directed the Department of Justice and the FBI to begin taking certain steps to meet with local officials to begin setting the parameters for how to deal with parents who are allegedly causing discomfort, if you will, to school boards. Now, what prompted this? Where did this even come from? Well, you may be surprised to find out that a part of it originated in Alabama. Oh, yes. And so I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. But to give you some background on this, we have a situation now where, because of the concern of the National Association of School Boards, an extremely liberal organization, by the way, they rank right up there with the Teachers Union in terms of their liberal tendencies, their advocacy for social justice in schools, their support of Democrat candidates. They are literally one of the power bases in the education lobbying arena for Democrats. And the National Association of School Boards wrote an open letter to President Biden. Now, this person was saying, this doesn't deal with critical race theory. Yes, it does. If you read the letter, it's very clear that what they're saying is not, there's been true violence, and here's all the examples, and here's the number of school board members that have been chased off the job. Listen, I know what it means to have true violence. I remember when I worked in Baghdad, there was a friend of mine who was assassinated for being a member of the local district council. And that's violence. There are people that, you know, I don't advocate what happened to Kyrsten Sinema, but that was intimidation and threats. And then there was things that happened, you know, even Nancy Pelosi had people defacing the front of her house. That's wrong. But none of that is what we're talking about. None of it. And what they're saying here is, it appears the National Association of School Boards is very uncomfortable. Because, you know, there's people out there that, well, they have been saying some things that have made our folks, you know, very concerned about their positions on the school board. Well, they should be concerned. They're public officials and parents are mad. But they don't have to be concerned, like, fearful for their lives and call the FBI. And so the only reason why Merrick Garland, the liberal who was going to be appointed to the Supreme Court had Obama gotten his way, literally did this memorandum in complete response to the National Association of School Boards. Now, talk about politics. The letter was written to President Biden. And within a short amount of time, we suddenly have the Attorney General issuing this guidance. If that's not a clear indication of political involvement, I don't know what is. I mean, I'm looking right now at Fox News on the big screen here in the studio with a cup of Just Love coffee in my hand, talking to y'all on the microphone, and they got the assistant AG is about to have to testify about what they're calling the school crackdown backlash. That's how bad it is. This show is live. When Right Side Radio comes on the air, you better know that the topics are going to be fresh, and we are neck deep in them right now. And folks, in a few minutes, I'm going to play you some clips and talk about some things that, I mean, if they don't curl your hair, I don't know what will when it comes to constitutional rights being infringed. This is big doings, y'all. I am not dramatizing this. I am not, you know, being an alarmist for any reason. This is real. This is an attempt to do exactly what I said in my monologue. What they want is the opportunity to have a chilling effect on the idea of parents going out and speaking on behalf of their children's education. speaking against things like social justice and equity and gender fluidity and critical race theory and masking of two-year-olds and whatever else. And you know what? If a parent's frustrated, they have a right and an opportunity to come to what are public forums, because school boards are not allowed to operate in secret. In the state of Alabama, we have what's called the Open Meetings Act, which I believe virtually every state has. They are not allowed to conduct their meetings in private. They have to conduct them in the public. The public is allowed to get on the agenda in order to speak at these public meetings. They cannot make decisions without having them done in public and voted on the record. If they go into executive session, they cannot vote in executive session. They have to come back out and do it in public, because these are public school boards. And the idea the public can't speak out is wrong. And they've been trying to shut down dissent now really hard in the last year and a half, and using COVID as one of their reasons to do it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm hopped up on this one. I don't need any more caffeine and chocolate, but I'm going to take it anyway. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Oh, yeah, solid, conservative, just plain right. More of that when we get back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Sitting here in the studio having a cup of Just Love Coffee. Just Love Coffee, by the way, is one of our newest team members. Just Love Coffee Cafe. They got locations on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville, another one on Hughes Road in Madison. You need to check them out, because they've got all the gourmet blends of coffee. They got special brews. They've got an incredible menu. They have that kind of cool waffled menu that you need to check out, because I'm getting hungry thinking about it. But anyway, the bottom line is they are a great place to just hang out, do your internet work if you want to, visit friends, just sit and read a book, have a cup of coffee. Just Love Coffee Cafe in Huntsville and in Madison. You need to check them out. Hey, listen, I'm going to go into the storyline. I said a minute ago that a part of this whole thing with Merrick Garland, our illustrious attorney general appointed by Biden and recently or previously appointed by Obama, nominated, if you will, to the U.S. Supreme Court. Glad he didn't make it. There's an article right now in American Enterprise by American Enterprise Institute's research fellow Max Eden. I'm looking at it right now. Got to hear my show prep. A couple things that I had not seen until I read this one. He points out that the National Association of School Boards is the one that wrote the open letter to Joe Biden, even asking for him to invoke the Patriot Act in regards to, quote, domestic terrorism about parents who they allege are attacking or threatening violence against school board members. And that would obviously be a violation of the law. But then they go on to give their examples. So when you look at the incidents, I mean, they've got a place on here, what was it say? Attacks against school board members and educators over mask mandates and physical threats due to, quote, propaganda about critical race theory. And they go on to cite certain examples. None of the examples, by the way, equate to violence. The first one on the list comes from Alabama. It says on the list, bullet point items here, someone made prank calls. Quote, a resident in Alabama who proclaimed himself as the vaccine police has called school administrators while filming himself on Facebook Live. What? Why is that even on the list? Why does that require FBI intervention? What do the feds have to do with someone pranking someone, calling themselves the vaccine police and doing a Facebook Live? Another guy in Michigan, bullet number two, prompted the school board to call a recess because of his opposition to critical race theory. See, critical race theory is part of the situation here. Parents in several states have loudly protested mask mandates, which disrupted school board meetings. Oh, did it get scary for you, school board members? How about other groups, particularly Turning Point USA, are spreading, quote, misinformation that boards are adopting critical race theory curriculum and working to maintain online learning by haphazardly attributing it to COVID-19. Did the mean Turning Point USA scare you, school board members? And so the National Association of School Boards sends this letter, And within just a short amount of time, Attorney General Merrick Garland determined that he would take action. Now, I want you to think of something. The National Association of School Boards. Did I say earlier they're a liberal group? Yes, I did. Was I right? Yes, I was. Listen to this. In 2019, this group that wants you parents to be declared as domestic terrorists for speaking out at school board meetings, at their 2019 annual conference, their keynote address was a lady named Angela Davis, a woman who bought and allegedly supplied the shotgun that was used by her Black Panther lover to kidnap and murder a judge. And Davis's letters to this lover of hers expressed unequivocal solidarity with his commitment to political violence, which is, i.e., domestic terrorism. This is a matter of well-established public record. And she was their keynote speaker. But when parents come to speak about concerns about their children's education, even if the parents get worked up in the meetings, what threat really have these school board members faced? How about none? Well, I'm proud to see that some of our elected officials are speaking out on this. Copper, I know you've got clip two. You still got it ready. Go ahead and highlight it if you're ready with it. Clip two. Yeah. All right. This is, This is Senator Josh Hawley grilling one of the DOG reps. That's the DOJ reps. I'm sorry. Department of Justice representatives on why they want to deal with school board members. Go ahead and play clip two.
At local school board meetings. Let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children? Is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country. It's something we all should engage in.
And no, I don't think so, Ms. Monaco. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms, nor does it define harassment or intimidation. It talks about violence. I think we can agree that violence shouldn't be condoned or looked aside from in any way, swept under the rug at all. But harassment and intimidation, what do those terms mean in the context of a local school board meeting? I mean, this seems to, in the First Amendment context, we talk about the chill to speech. If this isn't a deliberate attempt to chill parents from showing up at school board meetings for their elected school boards, I don't know what is. I mean, I'm not aware of anything like this in American history. We're talking about the FBI. You're using the FBI to intervene in school board meetings. That's extraordinary.
Senator, I have to respectfully disagree. That is not what...
Point me to an instance.
The Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear that violence is not appropriate. Spirited public debate on a whole range of issues is absolutely what this country is all about.
Then why is it being investigated by the FBI?
It is not. When and if any... situation turns to violence.
All right, stop it then. There. All right, stop it there. That was crap. So what she's trying to say is, well, we didn't really mean it that way. We didn't. Well, guess what? The letter they responded to, this is a, I'm looking right now at a joint statement by a number of freedom and education groups around the nation. They claim to represent 427,000 members. And they signed a joint letter in response to this National Association of School Boards claims of, quote, domestic terrorism. And they say, they quote the actual NASB letter to President Biden. They say, in that letter, you requested the federal government, quote, investigate, intercept, and prevent the current threats and acts of violence against our public school officials. What threats? They went on to point out, like I did a moment ago, you cited a tiny number of minor incidents in order to insinuate that parents who are criticizing and protesting the decisions of school boards are engaging in or may be engaging in, quote, domestic terrorism and hate crimes. You even evoked the Patriot Act. To equate parents with terrorists dishonors the thousands of victims of actual terrorism around the world. Have you no shame? And they go on in great detail. At the very end, though, this group that claims to represent, you know, close to 427,000 members says, we will not be bullied. We will not have our speech chilled. We have a constitutional right to petition our elected officials, and we will continue to do so. There's an attitude that I think a lot of my audience members have. But I'm going to tell you, it keeps getting deeper. Great piece written in the Daily Signal by two guys from Juan Carlo Canaparo and Mike Howell, both of the Heritage Foundation. And they covered some of what I said earlier about the chilling of speech. And they talk about the fact that the letter from the National School Board Association complains about, quote, disruptions. All right. Disruptions. So, disruptions. Do you know how many times Congress has been disrupted? You know how many times I was disrupted down in Montgomery as a state senator? I'm not saying that violence is ever a part of it, and was it frustrating sometimes? Sure. Do I like being shouted down? No. Do I like being maligned by the teachers' union in their trade journals? No. But the reality is, mean words are not a federal offense unless they are inciting actual violence, which none of these are. And it goes on to talk about in this piece from the Heritage Foundation guys that, you know, when Biden announced Garland's nomination, Merrick Garland promised he would uphold the independence of the Department of Justice from the political influences of the White House. He even went on to say that he looked up to certain members who had been or persons who had been attorneys generals in the past and that how they did not allow themselves to be influenced. And he said he would do exactly that. But yet at the same time, we see this demand letter from the liberal activist group. And within short amount of time thereafter, we see this incredibly overreaching memorandum, which even if they can't do anything about it, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's trying to keep you suppressed. He's trying to chill your willingness to even speak out at that point. All right, Copper, you got clip 4. I see it. Go ahead and highlight it if you're ready with it, Copper. Yes, I do believe that you are because you are on top of things. So clip 4, this is Tucker Carlson. Tucker's talking about these National Association of School Boards. This is where it all originated. So those of you that say, oh, the memorandum from Merrick Garland didn't say anything about that. Oh, no, no. Look what it was in response to. Go ahead and play clip 4.
Now, why did the DOJ issue this letter? Well, because they'd received a complaint from the National School Boards Association, huge donors, of course, to the Democratic Party. And that complaint cited citizens who were upset over the teachings of, quote, critical race theory and of masking of children, which is medically unnecessary. So the group wrote to the Biden administration and said that some of the actions against school boards, quote, could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes. Oh, so school administrators are now a protected group. If you disagree with them, you're committing a hate crime, not voicing an opinion, which is constitutionally protected. No, it's an act of violence to disagree with them. Let's get
an act of violence to disagree. All right, folks, we're heading into a short break. When we come back, I'm going to give you some more on this. You may be interested to know that people are already speaking out. You talk about inflaming things, but let's look at history. Has there ever been a weaponization of government in the past? Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Copper, I can't say that on the air. Copper's saying things we can't say on the air. All right, folks, we're Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Been spending some time here unpacking this whole situation you've got right now with Merrick Garland, our U.S. Attorney General, issuing a memorandum in response to a letter by the National Association of School Boards who are scared. They're scared on behalf of their members. Around the nation, school boards have been facing some backlash. Not all. Generally speaking, it's the liberal ones, all right? It's the ones who were invoking social justice and exacerbating situations with, some of the pandemic problems by putting, you know, masks on children all day long in schools that some parents have issues with. And so people, one of the things that really strikes me is there's like a lack of memory among some. On social media, had a guy sort of taking me to task on this, and I had to remind him of several things that had happened in recent history. All right, this is not the fact that the Department of Justice is being weaponized to try and chill the First Amendment rights of parents to speak at school board meetings is not a first. All right, There's an article I'm looking at right now from National Review, and it comes from 2015, all right? This goes back a little ways. In 2015, the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice here, they began expanding on something, believe it or not, called the Corporate Officer Doctrine, the Responsible Corporate Officer Doctrine, that basically said they were taking existing law and they began to expand its capabilities into things that it was never intended to do, so they could jail the head of a company for something their underlings did without the head of the company even having any idea it was done. So you can have a massive corporation, multifaceted, and the Department of Justice was finding ways to put corporate officers in jail for something that someone down at one of their lower-level tiers had done that they didn't even know had happened, but because they're the head of the corporation, suddenly they're liable. And that had never been done before, but it was being done in a very punitive fashion. But, you know, one of the ones that's worse than that is around the same time frame, the Department of Justice under the Obama-Biden administration, had a thing they called Operation Choke Point. And Operation Choke Point was the Department of Justice having a coordinated effort to push banks and financial service providers to do business with certain industries, to not do business with certain industries that were disfavored by the administration. Things like firearms dealers and short-term lenders. And they were blacklisting. They were having them blacklist their own clients and cut off their financial capabilities under threat of the banks being investigated by the DOJ if they didn't do it. Folks, that received a lot of criticism, but it also flew under the radar. I remember when my friend Becky Gerritsen, who's now with the Eagle Forum of Alabama, she was head of the Wetumpka Tea Party. They were denied their 501c3 status by the IRS simply because they were a conservative group, and she wound up testifying in front of Congress. Just a few weeks ago, we had my friend from Texas, Bunny Pounds, on the show with us right here on Right Side Radio to talk about the fact that her organization, Christians Engaged, was denied the opportunity to get a 501c3 status because, in the words of the IRS at the time, Bible studies are too often affiliated with Republican groups, therefore this must be a partisan organization. What? Yeah, they put it in writing too. Folks, what I'm telling you here is it is not uncommon to find government overreach. But when you have government overreach combined with law enforcement and the threat of punitive action, such that it has a chilling effect upon your ability then to go out and do what the Constitution allows you to do, affords you that opportunity, I'm just going to tell you, that is beyond the pale. And the Supreme Court of the United States has spoken to this issue multiple times. And right now, you need to be keeping a close eye on this, and asking for whoever your elected officials are at the state or federal level to not allow this to stand. Merrick Garland and the Attorney General and the DOJ and the FBI have got to feel the presence of the populace to know that they cannot just do this with impunity. Gonna have to. Do not let them chill you. Don't let them put your comments on ice. You tell them to pound sand. You've got a constitutional right to care about what your kids are seeing, hearing, or experiencing in their schools because your tax dollars are paying for it. How dare they tell you that your tax dollars go to a thing that impacts your kids and you can have no say? But it's scary. It's scary. It's scary to be on a school board. No, it's not. Well, then leave. If you're scared, good Lord, go do something else that's less scary. All right? I mean, I don't know, go fight the Taliban. That could be less scary than domestic terrorism at your school board meeting. These people have no idea what scary is. I know it. Copper, you're welcome to say it in the microphone because I'm getting
fired
up.
They're poor dear little hearts.
She's typing me a message and I saw it. And you're right. I mean, it's really kind of ridiculous. I feel like we got to have another episode of Woke World just to deal with school boards crying because people are saying mean things to them. And that's where we're at, folks. And you need to know you do have constitutional rights that protect your ability to speak to a school board. Do so with gentleness and respect. You don't have to scream at them or call them foul names. You don't have to show up at their houses. In fact, I advocate that you not show up at their houses. Go to the public meeting, stand in line, take your turn, speak your mind. Tell Merrick Garland to pound sand. Man's got no idea what he's doing, apparently. He's forgotten what it means to sit on the bench and preside over the law. Wanted to be on our Supreme Court and can't even recognize things like the chilling effect doctrine. The Supreme Court of the United States said you cannot chill the First Amendment right to speech by government action. All right, folks. Lots more where that came from. We come back from this break. Got one of my favorite segments, Copper's Corner. She's going to tell us what's on her mind for a few minutes. And then we're going to head down a road talking about Facebook. Big doings. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.